What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how's your bracket looking? Mine is actually not too busted, but, you know, it's busted in some areas. I still have three of my four final four teams left. It's just only the kind of like Cinderella team I picked is the only one that is actually out. So that's, I guess, the way it should look. Yeah, I had Texas A&M going to the Final Four, and they ended up losing to Houston in the round of 32. So they will not be moving on, even to the Sweet 16. But, you know, I told you when I picked them, I was picking some random team because I wanted to pick some random team. So let's get right into it. We actually had quite a few good games over the weekend, especially in the round of 32, because, man, there were some buzzer beaters, like three straight, that looked great. So let's just see where we're at and where we're at and see where things are at the Sweet 16 coming up next weekend. So in the round of 32, Duke in the first round actually looked like they were going to be put on edge, but I think that was more of a wake-up call for them. And they ended up taking down TCU in the following round of 32 and moving on to the Sweet 16. And they will be facing off against St. John's, who had a huge win yesterday with a buzzer beater layup shot right at the end of the game. And it was awesome to see. It was just a cool game that just went back and forth from start to finish. So St. John's is going to be playing Duke in the Sweet 16. Then we've got Michigan State going up against UConn in the Sweet 16 in the East. And then moving on over to the South Side bracket, Florida actually, you know, they're the defending champs, and they actually ended up losing a close one to Iowa, who also had a 3-point buzzer beater right at the end of the game, end of regulation as well. And so it was just another great game between these two teams, and Iowa actually pretty much dominated this game for most of the way. They stuck in it, but for the most part, it was Iowa-led, and they ended up getting the win 73-72, and they've moved on to the Sweet 16. Then Nebraska has moved on to the Sweet 16, taking down Vanderbilt, and then Illinois has moved on to the Sweet 16, taking down VCU, who ended up taking down North Carolina in the round of 64. And then in the matchup between Texas A&M and Houston ends up moving on to the round of 16. So that is the South Side matchups. Like I said, I had Texas A&M, and that's what pretty much busted my bracket in the South Side. Then on the West Side of the bracket, Arizona moved on easily in every single round so far. They are moving on to the Sweet 16 in the West Side of the bracket. Then High Point versus Arkansas. Arkansas took down High Point, and they moved on to the round of 16. And then also surprise team is my Texas Longhorns. I am actually shocked that they are headed to the Sweet 16. They took down Gonzaga and actually pretty much dominated Gonzaga for the majority of the game, which was just freaking awesome to see. So I'm just happy to see them here in the Sweet 16, not really expecting them to get past Purdue, who ended up taking down Miami yesterday. But Purdue is a damn good team. I mean, they're a number two seed, so it would be a huge deal for Texas to take them down. But I'm not expecting any miracles in that one, but I'm excited that the Longhorns have moved on to the Sweet 16 in the West bracket. And then the Midwest bracket, Michigan pretty much just dominated their whole way to the Sweet 16. And Alabama took down Texas Tech on their way to the Sweet 16. And Tennessee is just rolling on through. They had a crazy game against Virginia in the round of 32, but they've moved on to the Sweet 16. And then Iowa State, they completely demolished Kentucky yesterday, and they've moved on to the Sweet 16. So our Sweet 16 matchups coming up on Thursday and Friday, we have Duke versus St. John's, Michigan State versus UConn, Iowa versus Nebraska, Illinois versus Houston, Arizona versus Arkansas, Texas versus Purdue, Michigan versus Alabama, and Tennessee versus Iowa State. And as I said, my final four picks, three of the four remain. I had Duke versus Texas A&M, so Texas A&M is out of there. Duke is still in it. And then I had Arizona versus Iowa State, and both of those teams are still in it. And my championship picks, Duke versus Arizona, with Arizona winning it all. So so far, Arizona is proving me right, because they demolished every single team they have gone up against so far in their first two matchups in March Madness. So let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. And let's get right back at it. We got a new number one. Now, they're not technically a new number one, but they haven't been number one for about a month. And that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 56-15, but they are on an 11-game winning streak. So this team is right back at it. They just got wins over the Orlando Magic, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Washington Wizards this week. Looks like Jalen Williams is coming back this week. So they're going to get some reinforcements, but they've been playing great without him. SGA, he's looking like he's back in shape. And Chet Holmgren, that dude has been going off. He's been having one hell of a season this year. And Oklahoma City, they are right back in it. They are ready for another run at a championship. And they're going to be really difficult to get through because they just keep getting stronger each and every game. And I really like what I'm seeing from them. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the San Antonio Spurs, overall record of 53-18. They're currently on a 5-game winning streak, and they are 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Los Angeles Clippers, the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and the Indiana Pacers. And they clinched their first playoff spot since 2019. So it's been that long since we've seen the San Antonio Spurs in the playoffs. It's just weird to say that, especially because Greg Popovich was the coach for a few of those years. But it's just this team has been in a major rebuild, basically ever since Tim Duncan retired. This team has not looked the same, but now they are finally here. You know, they drafted Victor Wembanyama a couple years ago, and now here they are looking like a very dominating team, building a very strong team, and now they've clinched a playoff spot. And it's going to be real interesting to see how the Western Conference shapes up between not only Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs, but everybody else in the Western Conference right now as well. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 51-19. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Washington Wizards twice and beat the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, they keep it moving. You know, Cade Cunningham hasn't played in about a week and a half or so. Looks like he's going to be missing at least another 2 weeks with this collapsed lung. So it's kind of one of those injuries where you just got to play it by ear. So it's going to be 2 weeks, and they're just going to reevaluate him every 2 weeks probably until he's able to play. But you definitely would like to get a healthy Cade Cunningham for this playoff run, even though the Eastern Conference is not as strong as the Western Conference. You got teams like the Knicks and the Boston Celtics really starting to surge, and then you also have the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. So Detroit really can't fall back, and they definitely need a healthy Cade Cunningham come the playoff time. But right now, they're playing very well without him. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings, one of the hottest teams in the league, and I can't believe I'm saying it, my Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 46-25. They are currently on a 9-game winning streak and 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Houston Rockets twice. They beat the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic. And, you know, Luka has been on a tear all season long. He has led the league in scoring from day one all the way up until this last game. He has just been killing it. I mean, just this week alone, he scored 36 points against Houston, then 40 points against Houston, then 60 points against the Heat, and then 33 points against the Magic. He just is getting stronger and better as the season wears on. And LeBron, he is looking like he's getting stronger and better as the season wears on. And then you've got Reeves. Also, these three are clicking on all cylinders right now. They are looking really solid. They're looking really good. And like I said, the Western Conference, when it comes playoff time, it is going to be very interesting if these three teams between the Thunder, the Spurs, the Lakers, and then like I said, you've got the Nuggets there, you've got the Houston Rockets, you've got the Timberwolves, you've got a bunch of other teams in the Western Conference that really could shake shit up, but they're all going to be facing off against each other, and it's like, is the Western Conference going to beat up on each other, and then whoever wins the Eastern Conference is just going to kind of be a little bit more healthy than these Western Conference teams, and maybe it played a few less games in every series as opposed to these other teams, but right now, with the way the Lakers are playing, they're right up there with the Spurs. They're right up there with the Thunder. The only reason why I didn't put them above the Pistons is just because the Pistons are still playing well. The Pistons, they've clinched a playoff spot. They are above 50 wins, so it's kind of like they haven't really lost a step, even without Cade, so I couldn't really put them above. But, I mean, you can make arguments for them. But the Lakers are on a tear right now, and hopefully they keep it up, and Luka is a huge reason why. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 47-25. They've won 6 games in a row, and they have they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Washington Wizards. Karl Anthony Towns got his 50th double-double of the season. I mean, this guy's been on a tear, right? Him and Brunson have just been really taking charge with each and every game. They're really starting to make a nice run here towards the end of the season. They're right behind them in Boston. They're just going to be back and forth. And then, like I said, with this Cade Cunningham injury, you don't know what's going to happen with the Detroit Pistons. But this Knicks team, super hot right now, playing excellent basketball offensively, defensively. And this is just how you want to roll into the playoffs. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 47-24. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and then just lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jason Tatum, he has come back from his Achilles injury, but he's not playing that great. But in my opinion, that's exactly what I expected. He's coming off of an Achilles injury. Your Achilles is a big deal. If you are a shooter, that is your feet, your ankles, your legs. That's what you need most to shoot. Most people think it's your wrist, and yes, that plays a part in it, but it's your bottom half. And so it's going to take a minute for Jason Tatum to really not only get in playing shape, but back to his high level of play. That's why it's nice that they're actually getting this last month before the playoffs so he can start to warm up, and hopefully come April, come playoff time, he's just going to get better and stronger as the playoffs wear on. But he is in a slump right now. He does not look like the same Jason Tatum that we're used to seeing. But at the same time, he is coming back from a really super debilitating injury. And quite frankly, they should be lucky that he's even playing right now and not missing the rest of the season. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 44-28. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, beat the Toronto Raptors, and then beat the Portland Trailblazers. Nikola Jokic got his 35th triple-double of the season yesterday against the Portland Trailblazers. But this Nuggets team is actually starting to get healthy as well. They got Peyton Watson back yesterday. And he was on fire before he got injured, so this is just another boost to their roster. Gordon came back about a week or so ago, and he's starting to fit right back in there. And so this Denver Nuggets team, they were already playing well, and now they're getting some of their missing pieces back. And you got Jokic playing at an MVP level, and like I said, this Western Conference is stacked, and this Denver Nuggets team is another one of those teams that you just cannot look past because they've got depth on their roster, and they're now starting to get healthy yet again. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 43-27. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games this past week. They lost to the Lakers twice. They beat the Atlanta Hawks. Actually ended the Hawks 11-game winning streak. And then they beat the Miami Heat as well. The big news with them is Kevin Durant and LeBron James, they just keep on surpassing. Those two are just keep adding notches to their belt basically this year. And this week, Kevin Durant, actually, this is a big deal, is he passed Michael Jordan for now he's 5th in scoring all time, and even he said, when you pass Michael Jordan, that's a big deal. So he passed Michael Jordan, he's 5th, he's now behind Kobe Bryant, but he's got a ways to go to catch Kobe. But I mean, wouldn't be shocked to see Kevin Durant get past Kobe, but he definitely is cementing his name in NBA as an NBA legend, and he passed Michael Jordan, and that's a big deal. So now he is 5th all-time in scoring. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 44-27. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, the Chicago Bulls, and the New Orleans Pelicans. And James Harden and Donovan Mitchell are looking like quite the duo. They got a big win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Excuse me there. Throat's a little bit dry. Need some water. All right, sorry about that. Had to take a swig of water because throat got dry there. But anyways, James Harden and Donovan Mitchell have been quite the duo so far, but that's the regular season. And so their true test is going to be once they hit the postseason. Until then, they're rolling. They're in the Eastern Conference, so they're easily going to make the playoffs, and they're going to probably get a pretty easy opponent to start. But once they hit the New York Knicks or the Celtics or the Pistons, things might look a little different for them, but so far so good for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Then at number 10 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 44-28. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took down the Phoenix Suns, the Utah Jazz, lost to the Portland Trail Blazers, and then beat the Boston Celtics. And it's their first win against the Boston Celtics in a while. I can't remember the exact date, but it's been a minute since the Minnesota Timberwolves have beat the Boston Celtics. So it was a big deal for them, and there was no Anthony Edwards. As a matter of fact, over the last couple of weeks, they've been getting a lot of production from other players other than Anthony Edwards, which is what they absolutely need to even have any chance at a shot in the Western Conference this year with the playoffs. So they're definitely rolling at the right time, but they are only 5-5, and when you in the last 10 games, and when you compare them to everybody else in the Western Conference, that's why they're rounding out the top 10 and not a little bit higher. But they are playing pretty well without Anthony Edwards. All right, so let's move on to my 2026 MLB season predictions. And today we're going to talk about the National League and American League East and how I believe each one of those divisions is going to break down. So let's start with the National League East and how I feel this division is going to break down. And finishing in first place, I have the New York Mets. I think their spending spree over the last, like, 3-4 years, they've really been spending a lot of money to try and to bolster this roster and try and keep pace with the Dodgers and the Yankees, and it just has not worked out for them. But I think this year it could finally be the year that it finally works out for them. They did pick up Bo Bichette in the offseason, so he usually plays shortstop, but since Francisco Lindor is already their shortstop, it's looking like Bichette's probably going to end up playing, I think they said third or second base. I can't recall, but he's definitely going to be playing one of those infield options, but he's not going to be the shortstop. He might start the season at shortstop because it looks like Francisco Lindor could potentially start the season on the injured list. They haven't really announced yet. He might end up not starting on the injured list, but regardless, if he does, then I would imagine Bichette's going to be right there to play shortstop. But if he isn't, Bichette's going to be either second or third base. Then they also traded for Freddy Peralta, which is great because they definitely needed help with the starting pitching position, because last year they were great at the starting pitching position, but it's just they suffered so many injuries. And Peralta was lights out. He's actually been lights out for the Milwaukee Brewers for many years now. It's just kind of feels like he's been basically fading away there because his pitching doesn't translate to wins because he doesn't get the run support. So hopefully with the Mets, he's going to end up getting the run support. And then of course you got Juan Soto still there. And then they did pick up Polanco and Semien, and they definitely got some relief pitcher depth. And I definitely just think the Mets have improved their roster and have a lot of depth and are finally going to be a team that competes and could potentially win a championship this year. Then finishing in second place in the National League East, I have the Philadelphia Phillies. The only question with them is, Wheeler, he's injured right now, and they don't know, they haven't announced whether or not he's going to be starting the season off on the injured list or if they're just going to kind of play his injury by ear, because that's kind of what he's got going on right now. But once he's back and healthy, I just feel like this is probably one of the deepest rotations in the league. And they're definitely going to be difficult to score on. You've still got Nola there. They ended up picking up Adolis Garcia in the offseason, so I definitely think that bolsters their offense. You got Trey Turner, who plays great offensively and defensively. You got Bryce Harper, same with him, great offensively and defensively. And then, of course, Schwarber, who just has been their offensive driving force. So I kind of feel like him and Garcia are going to bounce off of each other. And it's like, who do you want to pitch around? Because they both crush the ball. And I just kind of feel like the Phillies are going to have zero issues scoring runs this year. I think they're going to be solid defensively. It's just more their starting pitching rotation, how things are going to work out injury-wise, that could end up being their Achilles heel. finishing in third place in the National League East, I have the Atlanta Braves. I do like a lot of things about their roster, but their only problem is the injuries over the year. And today it was announced that Spencer Strider is going to start the season off on the injured list, which just is a huge blow to their rotation because, you know, they've got Chris Sale, who's been excellent. And he was excellent last year and the year before, and he's just been great with the Atlanta Braves. He's been a great ace for them. But other than him, they haven't really just everybody continues to get injured. And then just starting the season off with Strider getting injured, who is just, he's a fantastic pitcher when he's not injured. But it's just the injury bug has just got him every single year. And now to start the season off injured like this, that just sucks. And then, of course, you got Austin Riley. He's coming off of an injury-prone year from last year. But he's a huge offensive force. And then, of course, you got Ronald Acuna Jr., who's another guy who's injury-prone, but a huge offensive force. So the thing with the Braves is are they going to be able to stay healthy? And until they can, I can't really believe in them. So that's why I've got them finishing in third place. Then finishing in fourth place in the National League East, I have the Washington Nationals because they are terrible. I expect them to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And, I mean, really, I looked over their roster and I was like, who the fuck is this team? I don't know who they are. I could barely name anybody besides C.J. Abrams on the roster. And, yeah, they're just an awful team. But an even more awful team, finishing in fifth place in the National League East, I have the Miami Marlins. I think the only thing that's going to be you could talk about with them this year is going to be when are they going to trade away Sandy Alcantara? They've been talking about it for about 2-3 years now, and it's probably about time that they're going to end up trading him because I doubt the Marlins are going to be good at all. I doubt the Marlins are going to be getting very many wins this year, and I think the Marlins are going to be absolutely dreadful. So all they're going to talk about this year is when Sandy Alcantara gets traded, if he gets traded, and I expect that discussion to be ongoing throughout the entire season, all the way leading up to the trade deadline, because that's usually what the Marlins are, a trade deadline seller. Then moving on to the American League East and how I believe this division is going to pan out. I think this is going to be, typically, it's usually one of the best divisions in the league. And once again, I think the top three teams are going to be the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays in this division, and I think the three of them are going to dominate, and I think it's going to be a battle probably to the bitter end on who wins this division. But ultimately, I think the Yankees are going to win this division. I think the Yankees have the deepest starting pitching rotation with Gerrit Cole coming back. You've got Max Fried coming off of an amazing season. You've got Rodon, who's on and off with the injuries, but when he's on, he's a dominating pitcher. And then you've got their bullpen, which is where a lot of the questions are with the Yankees. But Bednar, he's been a pretty reliable closer. So I think they're good at the closing position. It's just going to be, are the other guys going to be able to carry them if Cole and Fried aren't able to go the distance or go 6, 7, 8 innings in a game? Now, they're definitely not going to have any issues on the offensive side of the ball because you got Aaron Judge. They re-signed Bellinger in the offseason, so they still have him. You're going to have a healthy Jazz Chisholm. And then you got Anthony Volpe as well, who's had his moments. He was very streaky last year, and that's kind of his MO. But we'll see what happens this year. But I just kind of feel like the Yankees' starting pitching rotation is deep. They're great offensively. They're great defensively. I just think the only question is really going to be the relief pitching, which I don't think is going to be a major question. I think they'll solve it. Then finishing in second place in the American League East, I have the Boston Red Sox. And I just think they made some good moves in this offseason by picking up Sonny Gray at the starting pitcher position. So that gives them some depth behind Garrett Crochet, who's obviously going to be their ace, and he was amazing last year. So I expect him to carry on from last year and to continue to be the ace and to just continue to be their lights-out guy. But Gray right behind him is going to be great. Then you've got Roman Anthony and Duran. They're two young guys who have been coming up over the last couple of seasons. You know, Roman Anthony, look too great when he came in last year, but he was amazing in the World Baseball Classic this year, and I think that just gave him a bunch of confidence, and I kind of expect him to really take off this year and be a big reason why the Red Sox are actually another, they finally will be competitive again this year, along with Duran. I just kind of feel like the Red Sox are going to have, they've got decent enough pitching, starting and relief, but then they're also going to get enough production from their offense and defense that I just kind of feel like the Red Sox are going to be one of the more competitive teams throughout the league. And then finishing in third place in the American League East, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. They did lose Bichette. They lost a couple other guys as well. And then this is a team that just was playing in the World Series. So usually you tend to kind of fall off a little bit. And I just wouldn't be shocked if that's what happens to the Blue Jays this year. They did pick up Dylan Cease at the starting pitcher position. So I think that was a good move for them. You, of course, have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's always going to be a huge part of your team every single year. And he's going to obviously provide a lot of offense for them. But overall, I just don't really see the Blue Jays competing with the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I just kind of feel like, you know, they played in the World Series last year. Inevitably, you usually have a fall off if you're especially if you're the losing team, but even the winning team tends to have a fall off sometimes just because that you played so much baseball and you didn't get as much time off as some of these other teams did. Even so, I still think the Blue Jays are going to be a good team. I just don't think they're going to be good enough to keep up with the Red Sox and the Yankees. Then finishing in fourth place in the American League East, I have the Baltimore Orioles. They did pick up Pete Alonso this year. I do expect them to be a competitive team. It's just they're too injury prone. Their pitching, I don't like their pitching at all, from starting pitcher to relief pitcher. Like I said, they picked up Alonso, so that's great for them offensively. You got Jackson Holliday. He's injured, but, you know, they're going to get him back. You've got Gunnar Henderson, who's playing well. Adley Rutschman, he hasn't really panned out as they expected him to. But with all those young guys, I still expect them to be a pretty decent team. But I look at the pitching, and I just think there's too many problems with their pitching. And I just don't really see them really being successful, especially within this division. And then rounding out the American League East, I have the Tampa Bay Rays. Really, the only thing that the Rays have to that's good for them this season is that they get to return to the Trop this year, the Tropicana Field. That's their stadium. They didn't get to play there last year because the roof was ripped off the previous year due to a hurricane. So they have they've made all the improvements to the stadium, and good for them, because that's all they're going to have to root for this year is their return to the Trop. But other than that, the Rays, I think, are going to be a terrible team, probably one of the worst teams in the league, and wouldn't be shocked if they're one of those teams that ends up trading a bunch of their decent players off by the trade deadline. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Thursday.